mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this All Saints Sunday is taken from Paul's epistle to the Colossian church. And we'll read from the first chapter, and we'll read the first 14 verses of that chapter. It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, where we read in the name of our Lord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and in the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again we approach you as saints, washed in the blood, pure and holy in your sight. Father, we pray that every day you would make us mindful of that glorious gospel that reminds us of so great a gift, that we would approach you with boldness, knowing full well that you, our Father, love us so greatly through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Now, what I want to do, and what some people would really enjoy, is what I would like to do is just say, you're saints, and then sit down. Because honest to goodness, that's all that really needs to be said. When it comes to this point, we realize that what Paul is talking about, what he's speaking to the church in Colossae 2,000 years ago, is precisely the same thing that he would say to anybody now, that he would say to any congregation now. You're saints. You're saints. Now, I remember, and I've told you before, I had this conversation with a brother in the Lord, and I told him that once, and we were talking about it, and he looked at me and he said, Jay, I don't think I can say that. I don't think that I can say that I'm a saint. And so I took him through a bunch of the scriptures, and I said, well, how come Jesus says you are? And if Jesus says you are, then why can't you say it? And this is really where we come down to the point of understanding the reality of the gospel as opposed to our understanding of things. They're not the same. The gospel speaks very, very clearly. This gospel speaks very, very powerfully. You are a saint. You are a saint. You are not a saint because of something that you have done. You are a saint because your God so loves you, your God so deeply loves you, that he has provided the means of your redemption, that he has taken you from darkness and brought you into the fullness of his light. You are a saint not because you have accomplished a given thing. You are a saint because your Father in heaven has declared you to be one by his gospel. And that's basically all that Paul is saying to the church at Colossae. He's reminding them and he's telling them. And you notice in this reading, he does it over and over again. Because I think he understands. It's really hard for us to grasp this idea. Because in reality, what we do is we hold on to the old thing. We hold on to the old past thing. We hold on to our past. And we think that somehow that's our identity, that we're identified according to that past thing. But we don't understand that God doesn't see us that way, that God can't see us that way, that God sees us only in his Son, Jesus the Christ, that God sees us renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is always addressing us within that sense, not within the sense of how we see ourselves, but within the sense of how God himself sees us, that we live a new life. We live a new life. And the new life that we live is without an end. It doesn't have an end to it. The life that we live here and now is a continuance. And even physical death will not end that life. It can't end that life. It can't have that life. It has no power over that life. That life continues. That life is a reality. That life transcends every physical reality that we experience. That life is spoken because God has spoken that word of life. And he has given the word of life. And by the power of his son has come in. And just as he says, just like Paul says, you've been brought into a new existence. You've been brought into a new kingdom. You have been brought into a new place where through the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are indeed what you are. And what you are is a saint. You're a saint. The blood of Jesus Christ declares you righteous by grace through faith. You are just before God. You're saints. That should make you happy, not confused. You're living beings. You're eternal beings. You're immortal. You cannot die. You are free to live. You have peace with your God. You have joy. You have abundance. You have the glory of God dwelling within you by the Holy Spirit of God. For crying out loud, I don't know how it gets any better. I'm just getting so tired of this, I gotta tell you. I don't know what it takes for people to simply understand the gospel. It's the greatest thing that's ever gonna happen. It is the most wonderful announcement that can ever be made. And I don't give a rat's behind who wins the Super Bowl. The reality of things is we've got to wake up and realize we're alive. We're living people in Jesus Christ. We're living people who cannot die. We cannot die. Our life is entirely hidden in Jesus Christ. And whoever wins the Super Bowl isn't going to affect much of anything. It is the glory of God. It is God's manifestation of that life that we celebrate on All Saints Sunday. You see, don't you love it? Don't you love it when those little kids come up here and read? Don't you just love that? Well, why do we love that so much? Because they're saints. Those little kids are saints, and so are you, Michael. Counts for you, too. Don't you just love it when Michael comes up here and reads? And he stoops over because he didn't get the microphone up. You see, what we have in the church is this glory of life, this wonderful abundance of life. We can just enjoy life. We can enjoy one another in Christ Jesus. We have this wonderful celebration of life. And that life permeates every aspect of our personal living. It brings us into this wonderful place of understanding, this wonderful place of celebration. And that's why Paul says, this is done so that you would walk in this way. He says, this is done so that you would walk, that you would live this life, that you would live out your life in this wonderful light of this gospel, that you would live your life. And see, that's the thing that brings us to this point, because we still have to deal with the bitterness of death. We deal with the bitterness of death. We deal with that loss. We deal with the loss of our loved ones. We deal with those things. We deal with those things. But we understand very clearly there's a transcendent reality to this. And the bitterness still upsets us in this life because it's painful and it hurts. And we understand the vicissitudes of life. We understand the ups and downs of this thing. But we realize very clearly, as transcendent beings, we look upon a transcendent reality. There's something that softens the blow. There's something that comforts us. There's something that reminds us. And what is it? That we know that they're not dead. We know they're not dead. They're not dead. They're with us. They're with us all the time. They're present in Jesus Christ, and they're present with us. Because the memory fills our heart, our head. The memory constantly goads us to realize that goodness. And what do we want? What do we want for them? What better could we ask for them? We couldn't. But in order to understand it, we have to give it to ourselves. We have to understand and very clearly, oh, yes, 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 yes. We're alive. We're alive. Those things affect us because we know those people are still alive. They're with us. They're with us. I've told you this story before when they went down the catacombs of Rome. You know, people think they were like fleeing from the Roman soldiers. How stupid do you think those Christians were? That would be about the dumbest thing you'd ever want to do. Okay, let's run down into this walled area in the bottom of the city and hide from Roman soldiers. I think that means they can come slaughter you pretty easily. You know, you aren't getting out of there. They didn't go down the catacombs for that reason. They went down the catacombs because that's where they buried their dead. And they understood very clearly they weren't dead. They understood they were still living. That they could come and have that fellowship with them. We call it the communion of the saints. We confess it in the creed. We have this communion of the saints that transcends physical reality. That they're constantly with us and we with them. Because we're all together hidden in Christ Jesus. And we have this life. And we talk about all the time how this rail completes a circle, that's all. The circle goes all the way around. Can't get in that, can't get beyond that wall. You know, well, you could go to the parking lot, but that's not the same. It's not what I'm talking about. When you get around the wall, you understand very clearly. That's the communion of saints. Jesus Christ, the beloved saints of God, all of those who have gone before us are all united in that place, and they all join us. They all join us in this fellowship. Because the church is all about life. It's all about life. It's all about living. God didn't have those people touch our lives for just a moment. They touch our lives forever. And we are joined to them forever, forever. And the day comes when we wake up. Because right now we're kind of in a sleep. You know, and you understand, we think we're awake. Not a chance. You know, we're just kind of making our way through. Those people are awake. They're alive. They're living. And we now accomplish them. We come to them in the living. Is that Abba? That's great. That's the first time I've ever had that in church. So now you come to that point of understanding that you realize that this is what's going on in life, is that we live. And yeah, it's okay to have Abba. It's okay to have these things. It's okay. It's good. It's good. We don't try to avoid living. We live. We live. And we find joy. We find life, and we encounter the saints, because we're saints. We're saints. We're saints. We're going to live forever as saints, so we might as well get started. there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with living. That's what the gospel does. The gospel frees us to live. Frees us to live. And this is all that Paul is talking about. You got to love this. You just got to love this. He says that we're strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, to all patience. He says to all long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet, means suitable. It's made us fitting to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It made us to be partakers of everything that belongs to the saints in light, so it can be plainly seen. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Translated us means he moved us into the kingdom of his dear son, his beloved son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We now have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, the forgiveness of sins. Your sins are forgiven. The blood has washed you. You are pure and holy in his sight. And he counts you as his very own offspring. And he's given you the inheritance. And he calls you a saint. A saint. So whether you can say it or not, you are one. So that you understand that this day and every day, you walk in the inheritance of light. You walk in life. And that's the message that we need to show. That's what we need to show people. See, that's what we need to tell them. That's what they need to understand. God isn't counting your failure. God isn't counting your weakness. God isn't seeing all of those things. Oh, yes, you have them. We all got them. But God sees you as pure and holy in his sight. And he sees anyone sees them the same way. And he's simply inviting them. He's saying, come to me, come to me. Don't you understand? Don't you know how much I love you? Don't you know? Don't you know? You just freely come to me and I'll tell you, I will tell you, I will tell you. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, as the scripture says, cleanses us from all iniquity. Cleanses us from all of our iniquity. The righteousness of God is in us through the finished work of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are indeed the children of God. And this is the message of hope. It's hope. See, because in this life is bitterness and difficulty at many, many turns. But the thing that makes it possible is hope. Is hope. It's understanding and knowing, yes, there's a reality that transcends the one that I know and experience. There's something greater than my understanding. And it's life. Life. Life abundantly. And life in the goodness of God. Today we're going to celebrate the sacrament. And you know how this works? Because we just tell you to come. Because that's the whole point. You know, you just come. You come. You freely receive the gift of your Lord. You freely receive the body and blood of Jesus. You freely receive. And you freely understand that he's sustaining you in this life to bring you to the one that does not end. He's sustaining you in this life. He's feeding you in this life in order to keep you, because he's made a promise to you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always going to be with you. And he simply tells you, you just come to me. You come to me. Whatever you got, you come to me. People like to say to me, well, I think I'm too big of a sinner. And it's kind of like, well, stand in line. No, know, you just come. You just come. And you freely receive for Jesus' sake. Because like I said, and it took me a while to get around to the point, because you're saints. And now I can sit down. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, who can imagine so great a gift? It's impossible. We don't imagine that far. But Father, you have given it, and you have freely given it, and fulfilled it. You have evidenced it in the blood of your Son, in the power of his resurrection, and you have given us the testimony through your Holy Spirit. What more could we ever ask? Father, we pray even this day, as we commemorate all the saints, that we remember that marvelous gift, the gift of life. And Father, that we celebrate it to its fullness, that we celebrate it here, we bring it out wherever we go, Father, and we celebrate it there too, that people yet still would know the power of that life, the finished work of your Son. And the gospel, Father, would go forth with power and might throughout your world. Do its work, Father, that in every way your name would be hallowed and glorified for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.